Now on to our special bloggers roundtable. Following Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, many Gulf Coast residents turned to the blogosphere for information and moral support. Some looked for family members, others told their personal stories, and today we've got three bloggers who are also longtime New Orleans residents. Cliff Harris of the blog Cliff's Crib, Ebon Walters, who writes the blog New Orleans, It's Just Me, and Deidre Johnson, who blogs at g-bitch.com. Welcome, everybody.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm so excited you guys could join us. And Cliff, let me start with you. Where were you when Katrina hit? And just tell me what followed for you and your family.
Okay. I was actually in Brookhaven, Mississippi, by a great friend and his wife who took me and my family in, since it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing with the evacuation, because the storm kind of grew really fast and came to everyone's attention real quick. So that was a lot of reason for a lot of the disorganization and everything as it relates to the evacuation. So I was actually in Brookhaven, Mississippi, so I had half of my family evacuated, and the other half was still here in the city, and some of them were in the Lower Ninth Ward. And I have to say, before I go any further, that that area was not the den of poverty and crime and everything like the media mm-hmm. makes it. I wouldn't have been able to go tonight if I didn't say that.
Good point.
So what happened to your family after the storm? What did you find out about how everybody fared?
Well, the situation was with the way the communication was, and I think I'm speaking for everybody, is that there was a lot of unknown because you really couldn't contact anyone because of the communication. The cell phones were down, and maybe someone had a text message, and if their cell phone was working, they couldn't charge the battery. So I knew I had some family that was living, and I knew I had some that weren't accounted for. And thankfully, I found everybody except for one, which was my grandmother, who, I guess in the chaos of everybody trying to figure out what they were going to do before the storm, slipped through the cracks, and she didn't make it through.
Did the blog and the blogging help you deal with that kind of loss?
I think it helped me get some of the aggravation out. Just being able to write it down and express it. I don't know if it helped me any, because I haven't found a situation to help me with it, to be totally honest with you.
Right.
But
the wounds are still fresh.
It was right. Uh-huh. It was a little therapeutic, but and then when I realized people was reading it, I kind of took it upon myself to kind of be the voice for a section of the population that the media really doesn't represent, mm-hmm. or any leadership for that matter. So
Deidre,
that's kind of still where I'm doing it.
Deidre, you seem to have a knowing chuckle. I mean, do you do this blog to tell your own story, to inform other people, to motivate people? And what are you talking about from your personal experience and also from like a eagle-eye view of the city?
Partly, I mean, I think I have to agree with Cliff that part of the reason I started blogging was to get some of this anger and the frustration out from not only what had happened to the city, but how it was being reported on. And, you know, the perception that, you know, all the black people in New Orleans lived in public housing and were on welfare and were standing there waiting for someone to help them.
18 feet below sea level.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah, and we all live 18 feet below sea level. We're all just, you know, these morons. And it was, it's, I don't know if I write to motivate, but I feel like I need to do some truth telling. I need to offer alternative perspectives and some analysis of not only what the news media is reporting locally, nationally, internationally, but also what else is going on the ground here and even among other bloggers and mm-hmm. and misperceptions that even the people who aren't here have about home. Yeah.
Now, Ebon, you are someone who was in the city and then out of the city and back in the city. What are you seeing?
Well, I was born and raised here, and
you know, left to go to college 12 years ago and then returned last August, right after finishing sort of my internship residency in psychology. And, you know, I returned, and I guess within a matter of weeks, I was so frustrated with what was going on, you know, having come back about a month before the first anniversary, and, you know, seeing the lack of progress and hearing the stories of how, oh, wait, you know, the temporary pumps aren't working as there are storms forming, you know, out in the Caribbean and whatnot. And I started my blog on August 29th, 2006, because I just got so, and it was a way to vent what, you know, what I was seeing, the progress that wasn't going on, and the thing that I saw when I got back that irritated me the most, I think, was just the all of the misperceptions being put out by the media, which, you know, I don't think it was blatant on their part. I think there's just a lot here to understand and a lot of intricacies to what's going on, and, you know, that someone who isn't local will probably miss.
Now, Deidre, you know, when you go to your website, you have the fleur-de-lis symbol, and 8/29/2005, remember, a huge symbol right on your blog, and it just says, it's titled, "We Are Still Not Okay." What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, there's more to the city that needs to be put back together than the Superdome and the CBD and the French Quarter and St. Charles Avenue. Where most of the people lived, it still looks like the water drained out yesterday. People still can't come back. Our schools are a mess. Our local government is a mess. You know, I don't want people thinking that, oh, you know, it's been 2 years, there have been billions of dollars poured in, and it's all over and it's fine, and those people should just stop whining.
Right, and if I could just add something to that, there's been a lot of activity by the citizens themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think with the frustration, the biggest amount of frustration is that there's all of these people that came together and they're trying to rebuild and they're doing the right thing, but yet you watch the news and you read the newspapers and it's like, am I wrong for doing this? I mean,
right, yeah.
Should I just leave like everybody else? It's sort of like the media and the leadership in the city, for that matter, to be totally honest, sort of gives you this feeling like, hey, we told you we weren't really going to do anything. So you're kind of on your own in this. Well, and yeah. I think that's the part that is hard to get past.
Yeah, I mean, just on the way here, I heard the governor of Mississippi saying that, you know, Mississippi has made a lot of progress, you know, due to the spirit and the character of the people. And to me, the unsaid opposite of that is, well, we must not be doing anything because of our spirit and character, not because, you know, he's also in the same party as the president or that they got much more aid in comparison to the amount of damage.
Right, but we have a lot of spirit and we have a lot of character.
And that's what's got us through so far.
We just don't have a leader anywhere near us that can speak and say, hey, we've done a lot of things without your help.
Done.
You know,
right.
Imagine what we could do if you did the things you committed to.
Now, on leadership, you have Mayor Ray Nagin, who's been controversial. You have Oliver Thomas of the City Council resigning under bribery charges. You have Congressman Jefferson embattled in ethics charges. How do you guys feel about your leadership? Cliff, I'll start with you.
I'd just like to throw Senator Vitter.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you this. As far as Ray Nagin is concerned, I kind of understand why he's choosing to take the approach he's taken, because technically he really doesn't control the flow of the funding. My only problem is I wish he would his attitude will reflect more of the citizens. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. he seems to be a little too happy-go-lucky when I don't really know any happy-go-lucky New Orleanians now, and I kind of want him to reflect the frustration. As far as William Jefferson, I'm not a big fan of, and the only difference between him and Oliver Thomas is at least Councilman Thomas had the enough responsibility to get out of the way and step down. And mm-hmm. I think that basically William Jefferson is holding us hostage in a way because mm-hmm. there isn't really another congressman or senator or anybody that wants to be seen with him. And he's basically just keeping a spot for someone else that has some integrity to voice our views and everything like that.
He's useless in terms of getting anything done, right. you know, mm-hmm. having been removed from important committees, you know. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a problem. And, you know, I don't want it to come across as, you know, we think that we are not responsible for any of this. You know, I will honestly say that, you know, the way that the citizens vote and the things that, you know, the small but powerful and loud parts of the community advocate for in terms of defending politicians who I don't think deserve it has held things back, and it's kept us from installing leaders who can actually help us.
Mm-hmm. Deidre, let me ask you about something specific. You and Cliff are both parents, and when you think about the options you have for your kids and the basically what their future will be in your city, what do you wish that the leadership on the local, state, federal level could do for your kids?
You know, I guess the only place to start, I mean, I guess the best place to start is the schools. I mean, I guess for our kids, there's so much that needs to be fixed. And one thing that should be said is, like, none of these problems started mm-hmm. after the flooding.
Definitely.
We had these chronic problems before that weren't worked on, and now they're just, not only are they more obvious, but everybody across the nation is looking at them. There are a lot of things that need to be fixed here. We need the schools. We need some of the infrastructure back. We need an operating city hall. We need libraries that are open on Fridays.
Right.
Streets you can drive down.
Right. Streets you can drive down.
With the education thing, I actually think more than any flooding or damaged homes or problems with FEMA insurance companies, the education system probably kept more working class and middle class African Americans from returning home than anything, mm-hmm. whether they were teachers or parents with school age children. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a child that's school age yet, but I can honestly say, as much as I love the city, it would have been a lot more difficult decision returning if they were, just because the schools were really in bad shape due to a severe lack of leadership and theft before the storm. And we basically have, right now, we kind of have this experimental new system where there's like three different school systems that no one understands, and it's mm-hmm. a first come, first serve type of thing.
System in quotation marks.
Right. So I guess going forward is that I would like to have a better understanding of what school is available to me. And I mean, basically, the function of them, because right now it's just really confusing for parents.
You know what? We're going to have to wrap this up, but I just want to invite you guys to come back on because you have so much wisdom about what's going on.
We got a lot to say.
You do. We can't fit it in on one day.
So we'd love to.
Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
Oh, yeah, we're ready. I'm right down the street.
Well, fantastic. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
We've been talking to Cliff Harris of the blog Cliff's Crib, Ebon Walters, he writes the blog New Orleans, It's Just Me, and Deidre Johnson, who blogs at g-bitch.com. All were at the AudioWorks studio in New Orleans, and you can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org.